episode of The Right Kind of Uncomfortable, we welcome Sarah Miller, CEO of Principia Advisory. Principia has and continues to do exceptional work, helping some of the biggest organizations in the world navigate the challenging world of ethics. Take a listen.
All right, today we have Sarah Miller, the CEO of Principia Advisory, and she has been the leader there for just about a year, just a little over a year. And I think she's a great example of a leader, particularly in tumultuous times like these. And for some of these issues, are unclear. And so I'm looking forward to having her tutor us and talk to us about how to make sense out of something as perhaps amorphous and vague as ethics, and how it works within an organization and how we can win as a result of that. But before we get into the details of that, Sarah, why don't you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Thanks, James. And it's great to be here with you today. Sarah Miller, I'm the chief executive at Principia. We're the leading global advisor on ethics and work with global companies on how to build ethics into their day-to-day work, the decisions they make, their cultures, their actions. So great to talk to you and hopefully help make this concept a bit less amorphous.
So with that being said, let's start with baselining some language for those of us that either, you know, we use ethics in a variety of ways when we're having day-to-day conversations, business conversations. Mm-hmm. But what does it mean in terms of the work that you do? So as we're baselining this language for us and kick us off with a backdrop of what are organizational ethics and how does Principia Advisory approach its work to building more ethical organizations?
Absolutely. We get this question, obviously, at the beginning of almost every conversation we have. And the way we talk about ethics in organizations, it's really about how well organizations are set up to consistently deliver on the responsibilities they have to others. So there's a lot actually to even unpack in that. How do organizations define what their responsibilities are? How do they understand what expectations others have of them? Who are those others, right? Who are those to whom they have a responsibility? Do they have the kind of structure and the skill set to deliver on those? And can they be consistent in that delivery? So avoiding some of the kind of gaps or cognitive dissonance between, you know, aspiration and action, making promises, making decisions in the light of those promises. So that encompasses both, you know, what organizations have to do. So there's kind of a minimum floor, often in line with laws and regulatory expectations. But more critically, what they want the ceiling to be, what they want to aspire to be known for, what they want to do. And so when we're working with organizations on this, we focus on three areas. One is how ethics shows up in leadership and governance of organizations. So that's both, you know, leadership skills, practices, how organizations are governed, and how ethical commitments concretely, you know, manifest in decisions. How ethics is applied in the culture of organizations, so the broader environment that's created in the workplace, reinforcing policy, systems, processes, and the skills and the dynamics at play with individuals and teams, group settings. And then finally, how ethics is built into the way organizations innovate new products and services and drive growth. So how organizations define and act on inclusion, diversity, equity commitments is clearly a key focus for a lot of the companies we work with right now. And that's, of course, how we met. We've had a lot of conversations about links between our work, and I think that's a great, you know, example of an ethical commitment that organizations are making that touches on responsibilities that they have to multiple different stakeholders, the way they build into how they design and deliver, you know, their core business, the decisions they're making, the way leaders show up. So that's a concrete example of one of those commitments.
Yeah, and the work that we've done together, I think, has really helped me to open my eyes to have the connections between these challenges that exist. You know, the questions that are asked, particularly when you're talking about organizations that have a global footprint, mm-hmm. the questions exactly. and answers and ethical challenges can shift. Mm-hmm. And so there is a bit of sort of tutoring that has to happen, but there is this deep connection, which is why I think that our partnership over time has borne a lot of fruit. Mm-hmm. Can in an effort to really make sure that like we're landing the plane well for the listeners and they're understanding what we're talking about or what you're trying to get us to understand around ethics. Can you give us some examples of when a client comes to you? Mm-hmm. What are the ethical challenges they're facing? What do they want you and your team to do for them?
Yes. So I'd say historically, the most common moment that organizations come to us is in the aftermath of an ethical failure or some sort of challenge that's been raised on ethical issues from key stakeholders. So whether that's misconduct of some form that's seen kind of appears to be systemic in some way in the environment of the organization, pressure from employees on a particular ethical issue or from shareholders on a, you know, gap between, you know, a way they want the organization to act in line with their values and some sort of business pressure or tension, media attention on gaps. You know, there's a lot around greenwashing, these sorts of things, right?
When you say greenwashing, what do you mean?
So the accusation that your reputation, things you're claiming about your commitments to climate change or sustainability issues is just window dressing, that it doesn't match with how you actually act as an organization, what's reality in organizations. So I think that gap between kind of, you know, what you put out there in your as a brand and versus how you actually are building these ethical commitments into your organization is a common challenge a lot of leaders are facing.
Got it.
So that's the most common way that companies come to us, and usually they're asking us to help kind of measure where they're at, understand the current state of ethics, flag any risks or vulnerabilities, and really say, you know, what are the strengths that we can build from or rebuild from in many ways? And what's the path, you know, partner with us, advise us on the path to better. What's interesting is I'd say there's two other ways that organizations are coming to us. And these are the ways that they're coming much more frequently right now. And that's a change. And I think that's interesting because I think it says something about the environment we're in. One is moments of change. Mm-hmm. So, you know, new leader, significant growth, you know, an acquisition, a rebrand. Sure, those have all been there. But now it's much more around shaping and being proactive about being leading on something. So we want to be, you know, leading on something related to our purpose. How do we build that in? We want to maintain something we value in the foundations of our culture. But we've, you know, just gone through a phase of rapid acquisitions. How do we make sure that's kept, maintained, nurtured, scales with us, right?
And that's an interesting way of sort of differentiating, I want to be first to the market versus yes. I want to lead
exactly. the market. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the other is really that kind of, I don't know what to do moment. So, you know, leadership teams or boards who are really having to navigate unknown kind of new ethical terrain, and they want guidance, they want structure, they want to build a common language, a common way of talking about and engaging with these issues, to really get kind of expert opinions and perspectives, because they don't know what the right thing to do is. And the first one, the kind of moments of crisis, has always been the case. Increasingly, it's that proactive, I want to shape, I want to be leading, I want to build something in, recognizing the changing external dynamics, you know, how do I get ahead? And the third is really increasing rapidly. And I think that says a lot about the environment we're in right now.
So biannually, you execute an ethics study. And I think this is a great sort of a way of helping people to understand what's happening out there, right? It's a great yeah. gift across industries. But why is it important from your perspective? And what is the value across these industries? Mm. And if you wouldn't mind, perhaps a sneak peek on what this year's top insights might be.
Absolutely, yes. The ethics study will be launched on April 19th. And we've heard the perspective of leaders from a sample of companies across sectors, geographies, and it's a real privilege to have these conversations because you get this unfiltered, reflective space from leaders who are under, you know, tremendous pressure. So something that I heard in every conversation I had was just the growing complexity that leaders are feeling. of making decisions on ethical issues and this sense of kind of volatility and competing expectations and scrutiny on the decisions they're making. And this feeling that they don't know what the right thing is to do. And this pressure to take a stance. So to be known for something, to say something, and even when they don't say anything, that in itself, and you know, they have to be held accountable for. So it's no wonder that this is a growing focus of our work, right? Kind of helping leaders navigate this. And what I thought was fascinating is that the number one ethical risk that leaders name is geopolitical instability and conflict. And the second one, concerns about being complicit in wrongdoing by others they're working with. So, you know, caught up in harm that maybe they aren't directly responsible for, but a partner or a client of theirs or customers of theirs are contributing to and their kind of complicity in that harm. And, you know, it's also the area where leaders feel like they're most ill-equipped to respond. So they feel least prepared. They have the least amount of skills in their teams, least resourcing even being invested in these areas. I think it's something like 10 or 17% in those two areas. But it's the highest level of risk that they're seeing. So of course, that mismatch is something that was really striking to hear and to see. And a conversation we had with leadership at Ajinomoto, the Japanese company, put it really nicely. He was talking about how they're focusing on shifting and needing to shift from what he called passive ethics to active ethics. So recognizing that they have to be more proactive and actually shape issues relevant to their work. And so I thought that was a really nice framing of the change we're seeing in this at this moment.
So you give us one example of the organization. Could you give us a context? How big is this sample size, if you can share? Mm-hmm. And then maybe a sense of what does that demographic of organizations look like? Big, small, multinational, et cetera.
So we've only spoken to kind of multinational companies, really big brands primarily, as well as you know, people who are like non-exec chairs or advisors, coaches to the CEOs of these companies. So, you know, we've got some perspectives from those types of people as well. And we've kind of usually tried to target around 200 companies. So getting a range of different sectors, different backgrounds, different functions. So CROs, CHROs, CEOs, chief marketing officers. So kind of different perspectives within the mix as well. And based really, you know, across the world this year, we have more kind of perspective from Japanese companies, which was intentional. I think there's a shift in the environment right now. They're really focusing on ethics. So we've kind of got a unique focus there on some of the perspectives from Japan, as well as companies, you know, kind of distributed in different parts of the world.
Got it. So now, if we wanted to dig into the details a little more, can you give some concrete issues that you work with organizations on?
Yeah. So yes, you know, once again, I think this is a perfect example of that unknown terrain or kind of growing scrutiny and unsure what the right thing to do is or you know, will the decision stand up to stakeholder expectations? Concrete issues right now, you know, that we're working on whether or not to divest portfolios from tobacco or fast food if I'm a company that has kind of health as a key part of my purpose. How to balance commitments to inclusion of LGBTQ plus colleagues with decisions to work in countries who criminalize people who identify in that way. How to work with governments that may have different standards of data security and human rights protection than the company historically has. How to balance leading commitments on climate or sustainability goals with significant portfolios with extractive organizations. The list goes on, but I think those are very tangible examples of this terrain that leaders are navigating, where the path certainly is not clear.
Given what you describe, I mean, to me, I see a really intense pressure on leaders that either they didn't know when they signed up to want to be a CEO or a CHRO this was even going to exist, and now there are new skills that are required. Is that am I characterizing that properly?
Yes, and I think that was a very came through loud and clear in our report, in the reflections of leaders themselves, and absolutely in our observations. These kind of new leadership skills are required in how to lead ethically. And the word authenticity was used in a significant number of our interviews. So kind of unprompted, that reflection on, you know, how do I be authentic as a leader, be open about the fact that I don't know what the right thing to do is, recognizing that I don't necessarily know how to, you know, model or reinforce or hold up values, commitments in my behaviors and the way I set the tone and the way I facilitate team dynamics in the decisions I'm making, and how to justify or explain those in a way that that touches on those commitments. And that's something that I think most leaders are saying, this is not a skill that I was trained for. This is new. It's a new muscle I've got to build and I've got to learn how to flex. And I don't know what that looks like. Or at least I don't know how to succeed, how to be successful in the way that I've always been successful while acting in that way.
You are listening to a discussion with Sarah Miller, CEO of Principia Advisory, and she is giving us a sneak peek into their ethics study due out April 18th. If you're interested in connecting with Principia Advisory, please do reach out to them via their website or LinkedIn, which is where you will find their ethics study as well. Just a quick programming note to inform you that JP Enterprises has updated and refined its inclusive leadership assessment. As before, you can get a clear-eyed understanding of where you, your team, and your organization are on your inclusivity journey. And as before, you will receive a roadmap to guide you along your journey. Our new updates leverage AI technology that reveal tone and tenor in the responses received from the respondents. This new information provides added color to the insights provided and inserts the personality of the team into the roadmap for the organization. Send us a note to find out more. Now back to Sarah as she takes us a little further down the path of ethics, Principia Advisory style.
So I think that's a fascinating insight. And I think the second skill actually is that one of the key findings from our study is kind of the nature of ethics as multipolar increasingly. So it can't be a certain worldview on kind of defining this is the domain of ethics. You know, these are the commitments on human rights. And, you know, for anybody who doesn't subscribe to those, we don't work with you. That does not work. That's breaking. That's not working anymore. But what does that mean if that's still a deeply held commitment or value from companies? And so leaders are really needing to have those skills to engage with lots of different worldviews. And it's particularly challenging for companies with headquarters or cultures historically dominated in kind of North America or Europe. They're saying this is hard. There's a growing diversity of perspective on these issues across countries, across cultures. And how do you hold together the common kind of core foundation of an organization, but still allow for and actually encourage diversity of perspective within that core? And that, you know, that's a skill that's required. I know, of course, shows up, I'm sure, in your work.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that there are some clear areas of connection. Mm-hmm. But here's one odd way of perhaps divergence in that, how it's entered. When mm-hmm. you talk about that, these leaders are recognizing they don't know,
yeah,
and they need to do something else. I think that leaders that have come through this sort of inclusion work have been given the language to suggest that they do know.
Uh-huh.
And so they come into saying or believing or thinking, I kind of know how to navigate this. Mm. And then the crosswalk to get to where I don't really know how to do this. I don't really know exactly how to measure this. That crosswalk is an adventure in vulnerability. Mm-hmm. It's the adventure in authenticity. Mm-hmm. And that becomes part of the challenge to be able to understand it. So I think then they re-enter this space of ethical dilemma.
Right.
Now I'm real, no, I don't know. So what am I supposed to do now?
Yeah.
Right. And I think that there is an argument for most leaders are making the strong attempt to embrace it.
Yeah.
But that the environmental context can shape how, when, where, how fast, and with what kind of intentionality I do so.
Yes. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So what have you learned from this year's study What are your takeaways? Your takeaways, and I mean, I hear like good positive energy in your voice about how it's going. There's a passion for the work. So, and why are you optimistic about this? Why do you think? Why are you smiling as you're talking? You can't see it on the ear because you know you don't have the privilege of seeing her. But there's curiosity around
right,
it.
Right.
There's energy towards we can make this work. Why are you optimistic? And what are your takeaways?
You know, maybe a couple of things, and I absolutely am. I mean, one is just it's so such a privilege, like I said, to have these conversations. And, you know, we talk about leaders as if they are out there. You know, I'm a leader of an organization. You're a leader of an organization. We have leadership responsibilities. Certainly, I feel like I learned a lot from the conversations that I had as part of this report, a lot that prompted my reflection around how I make decisions or how I communicate or how I work with, you know, people in our team and certainly with our clients. So, you know, there's a personal learning that one benefits from in just being involved in hearing from, you know, just these amazing leaders of huge companies, right, with significant areas of responsibility that they're taking very seriously. And I think that's what was so encouraging is that the number of leaders that we spoke with who are taking this responsibility seriously. And it's been a trend for a while, the kind of expectations on businesses to play a role in addressing, you know, social, economic, environmental issues, what have you. But there's a real recognition that kind of pressures on what that looks like are growing, and the need to really shape and define their role in contributing, you know, more broadly is becoming more and more critical. So I think that's just encouraging to me. I think the second thing that was really encouraging was the growing recognition that this isn't just a good thing to do, right? I mean, some leaders just have an individual, personal, call it a moral, you know, responsibility that they feel as individuals to be ethical as a leader. But there are others who actually spoke very clearly about this being a competitive differentiator, right? This is something that they know is critical to the success of their company and helping them stand out. And, you know, I think the kind of over 80-85% of leaders were talking about how priorities for them in the coming year is to build ethical considerations into their growth strategies and into the way they design and communicate their branding and marketing. So that's new. I mean, for us, the last two years ago is very much around how they're building into kind of HR, risk and compliance, this shift into kind of how they're growing and how they're, you know, communicating their reputation externally. That to me is really positive because that's integrating ethics into core business. And, you know, I think that's the only way for it to come to life in organizations. And I think that leaders are talking about this in new ways, seeing, of course, while struggling with a lot of the pressure and the challenges, also to finding some really creative ways to rise to the challenge.
So I enjoy working with you and your team, and I know what my whys are, but I wonder if you might take a second and share with us, like, who the team is. Uh-huh. Who are these folks? So you mean, if you all want to know more about them, go to Principia Advisory, just Google it. Their website's going to come up. You'll see the unbelievable bios of the people that are there. But take a second and how might you cheerlead your team? Who are they?
Yes. And of course, these you know, any study and any work we do with our clients is certainly a team effort. So we are a global group of people who draw together people with deep expertise on ethics from academia or who do kind of cutting edge research on ethical issues. And we blend that with people who come from more kind of consulting backgrounds. So how do you take those leading academic insights and expertise on ethical issues, whether it's, you know, ethics of AI or sustainability or finance, and apply it in really concrete ways into organizations, into the kind of hardwiring, the soft wiring of organizations and how they're run. So we're a great group of people in terms of bringing those, you know, perspectives and skills together. And I think that kind of blending of those things is what makes us unique and certainly driven by our purpose to build ethical organizations, including, you know, trying to be consistent how we build that into our own ways of working as well.
So as you leave us with any final thoughts, Mike, could you share with us, like, if I want to get a copy of this ethics study, how do I do that?
Yeah.
And if I want to work with you all in some capacity, how do I do that?
Yes, of course. So following us on LinkedIn is quite easy. Principia Advisory, we'll be posting the report there on April 19th. We'll be sharing some of the kind of headline data points and findings, you know, in the subsequent weeks, posting kind of any, you know, event opportunities or conversations we're having that people can join into off the back of that. So that's an easy way to see, you know, both this study and then also any unfolding insights that we share on ethics. Obviously, our website is a great place to go to if you want to kind of contact us for any sort of a conversation. If you're seeing any of these issues unfold in your organization, you want to think more critically about how to build ethics in, you know, always happy to have a conversation, share our thoughts and perspectives and examples of some of the work we do.
There you have it. All things ethics and advisory. And thank you so much for spending some time with us. I really appreciate it.
James.
And looking forward to the next time we have a chance to talk.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Looking forward to our next conversation.
Thanks for taking a moment to listen to The Right Kind of Uncomfortable. Looking forward to seeing you next time. Have a great rest of your day.